Translation in purple by Svanga Srila Prabhupada Ki. Ramananda Rai approached Lord Sri Chaitanya and offered his respectful obeisances, and the Lord embraced him. Then they began to discuss Krishna in a secluded place. Please repeat. Ramananda Rai approached Lord Sri Chaitanya and offered his respectful obeisances, and the Lord embraced him. Then they began to discuss Krishna in a secluded place. Purport. The word rahasthane, in a secluded place, is very significant. Talks about Krishna and his pastimes, especially his pastimes in Vrindavan and his dealings with the gopis, are all very confidential. They are not subject matter for public discussion, because those who have no understanding of the transcendental nature of Krishna's pastimes always commit great offenses, thinking Krishna to be an ordinary human being and the gopis ordinary girls. Following the principle of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who never discussed the dealings between Krishna and the gopis publicly, devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement are enjoined not to discuss the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan in public. For the general public, Sankirtan is the most effective method to awaken Krishna consciousness. If possible, one should discuss the principles enunciated in the Bhagavad Gita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu followed this principle very strictly and discussed the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita with learned scholars like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Prakash Ananda Saraswati. However, he taught the principles of the bhakti cult to students like Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami. And he discussed with Sri Ramananda Rai the topmost devotional dealings between Krishna and the gopis. For the general populace, he performed Sankirtan very vigorously. We must also follow these principles in preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. Hare Krishna. I'm glad to see Govinda Prabhu here. Because I was thinking about this verse. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, so let me explain the context. For those of you who may not have been following the classes. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken sannyas, he's left Jagannath Puri, and now he's traveling with one Brahmin. And he's preaching Krishna consciousness all over South India. And on his way, he met Ramananda Rai, who is a great devotee. Actually, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, while in Jagannath Puri, had told Lord Chaitanya, make sure if you're going South India, make sure you meet Ramananda Rai. So when they saw each other for the first time on the banks of the Godavari River, then they immediately embraced and tears flowed from their eyes and they showed such ecstatic symptoms. But unfortunately for them, there were loads of Brahmins who were nearby. When they saw this display of great ecstasy, they couldn't understand. So immediately they both controlled themselves and they decided to meet later on. So that night, Ramananda Rai came, accompanied by one servant. He came to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a secluded place so that they can now have this very deep and esoteric discussion that they're about to have. Hence why then Srila Prabhupada in this purport, he explains how it's so important we don't publicly discuss the pastimes of Shishi, Radha and Krishna. But of course in a forum like this, it's okay. Morning class. So let's look at what Srila Prabhupada says there. So the first thing he says is for the general masses, for the general public, we should vigorously do Sankirtan, which is why I was thinking of Govinda Prabhu. We saw a video the other day, it's been circulating in the Birmingham congregation, of the London devotees doing Harinam Sankirtan, and there's some men wearing suits, ties, fully dressed up like, they're like, I don't know, bankers, or, you know, what are they called? investment bankers or some kind of like really top jobs. And they're like doing all this funky dancing to the Harinam, and like they're behaving like you'd never think somebody in a suit would be here. And I think, was it you who was leading the kirtan? Yeah, you were leading the kirtan. Let's give a round of applause to Govinda Prabhu, yeah. You will. Getting even the suited and booted to dance like that. So this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing. As he was traveling through South India, wherever he would go, whichever village he would go, he would do vigorous kirtan, and everybody like this would be attracted, and they would be chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and then they would go back to their villages and they would chant there. So then, so that's number one. Then those who are a bit more interested, they might visit the temple. So we might give them a leaflet in London, and they might come to, they might go to Soho Street Temple to visit. What is this about? And for them, then we would have classes on the Bhagavad Gita, talking about the basic principle. What's the very first principle? You're not this body. Right? Let's start with that before we talk about anything else. That's what Krishna starts with. So talk about these basic principles. You know, there's a God. His name is Krishna, like that. So for those of you who are familiar with social media, you can see it almost like this. Sankirtan is like getting a friend request on Facebook. Right? So we're giving out lots of friend requests, right, on behalf of Krishna. So here you go. Be friends with Krishna. He's your best friend. Here, be friends with him. So we try, Hare Krishna, like this. And some of those people might be curious and they'll see, you know, Krishna's page. And I'll say, let me go have a look. So when they go have a look, they'll only see the things that are publicly available. So this is the general principles of the Bhagavad Gita. We can explain that to the general public. Then somebody who starts to take it a bit further might start practicing Krishna consciousness. So they might start chanting. They'll start studying the Bhagavad Gita. They'll start asking questions to devotees, they'll make friends with devotees like that, and it goes on like that. So that's like somebody then finally accepting the friend request. And now they can go into the page where Krishna's kind of more private things are there. However, there's still one extra thing, and that is to discuss the pastimes of Radha Krishna, and the very kind of more esoteric things. So then maybe there's a Facebook group. And only those who are qualified, only those who tick the box, are allowed into that private members group. Like that. So these things are not supposed to be discussed publicly. Of course the books are there. Of course the kind of general understanding, the general knowledge is there about Krishna and Radharani and the gopis of Vrindavan. Like, I met somebody at university. So I remember going into the guild, many years, that's about 2001 or something, 2002. I went into the guild, and there was the boys doing their Muslim table. So I happened to walk past, and the guy stopped me. So he asked me what religion I practice, like they do. And then he explained that he used to be a Hindu. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. And he said, do you know why I'm not a Hindu anymore? Do you know why I converted? I was like, no, well, you tell me. I'm sure you want to tell me why. So he said that I cannot worship a god who steals the clothes of women. I cannot worship a god who dances with other men's wives. Totally misunderstood. I wanted to tell him, did you read the 9 cantos of Bhagavatam before you read the 10th canto, before you heard about this? That's why the 9 cantos are there. First, why don't we just jump straight? Why isn't first canto about Krishna's beautiful pastimes? The 9 cantos are there to first of all establish Krishna as a supreme personality of God. Just like we were talking. Right, first you get a friend request, then you go into their public page. And gradually, only then do you get the private stuff. Once you get to know that person, it's like, why don't we just publicly put everything on our Facebook? Some people do, but right? We go gradually as our understanding deepens. So we get faith, we have knowledge, then we practice the principles, and then we develop. Ultimately, what do we develop? Love. Only when we have love can we actually understand Krishna's pastimes. And as well as love, we need to be free from lust, free from envy. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 3, Krishna says to Arjun, because you are my devotee and my friend, therefore you can understand the mystery of this science. There's a qualification required. You can't just jump to Radha and Krishna pastimes. I remember His Grace Tribhuvanath Prabhu, he was giving a talk once and he was saying how Srila Prabhupada was so angry that there were so many groups, I think they were called the Gopi Bhav Club. And there were like these men who would dress up in saris and think that they were like gopis. And they'd dress one man up as Krishna, and all night long they would be doing this rasa lila. And Prabhupada makes, and Tribhuvanath Prabhu, he was doing the example of Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada was like he was banging his fist on the table. It was like, first deserve, then desire. First deserve, then desire. You haven't even understood Trinada Pisuni Chana. You're not practicing the principles of Krishna consciousness. You haven't purified your heart. How are you being a gopi in Vrindavan? And later in some of these purports, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai are discussing, Srila Prabhupada explains that how do people think that Krishna enjoys this material body? You know, like they're dressing up in this body. Krishna doesn't touch anything material. He's completely spiritual. That which he enjoys is only spiritual. There's nothing to do with this material body. So Srila Prabhupada makes that point very strongly in these purports. So I wanted to, I'm just turning the board around. So this conversation now between Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins to go into this discussion. So before that discussion starts, I thought we could try to be in the right consciousness to be able to receive this knowledge of Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And especially they are going to talk about ultimately Radha, they're going to talk about Radha and Krishna, they're going to talk about gopis, they're going to talk about then Radha, Krishna Tattva, and then Radha Rani Tattva. Right? So this is very special, confidential knowledge and mercy that we're going to receive as we continue reading this. However, we should try to be in the right consciousness. So I thought let's have a little discussion. So what is the difference? What are the qualities of love and what is the quality of lust? So if you mic? Thank you. Perfect, have it on standby. Hare Krishna. So let's have a little discussion and discuss what are the qualities of what are the qualities of love? What are the nature of love? What is the corresponding nature of lust? So for example, just to start you off, the quality of love is it's selfless. So what do we say the quality of lust is? Selfish. What else? Love is light. Okay. Say again. and lust is like darkness. Love is like the brilliant sun, and lust is like darkness. Thank you. Somebody else had their hand up? So love is, you can say love is for Krishna. And selfless is for me. Yeah, it's kind of similar to selfish. Selfish. Love is eternal. Lust is temporary. Very important. Nice. Love is like gold, and lust is like iron. So, when you say lust is impure, what does that mean? You're right, but what specifically are you doing? Contaminated, what does that mean? It's perverse. So it's impure in the sense that it is. It is motivated, correct? And therefore pure in the sense of unmotivated. So let's say it leads to depression or frustration and anger, etc. Yep. Yes. So lust increases the desire to enjoy. What does love? Love increases the desire to serve. Yes. Anything else? What? Quite a big one we missed. Yes. Yes. So that's coming back to. So love is satisfaction of Krishna's senses. Lust is a satisfaction of our own senses. And you'll notice that in love, what's the consequence? What do you feel afterwards? So, ecstasy? Well, let's just keep it right at the bottom. Like, just that right at the very bottom is you feel satisfied. Whereas in lust, what do you feel? Unsatisfied. It's like, you want more. It's like, what is it? It's an example that's given, like a fire. The more you put fuel on it, what happens? The more the fire grows, the more it desires. Lust is completely unsatisfied. Yes. So in one word, what would you say, in one word, what would you say is the difference between love and lust? In one word. So let me just give you an example. So let's say on the birthday of his wife, let's say there's two couples, and the wives have their birthdays, two completely separate couples, the wives have their birthdays, and the husbands are taking them out. Husbands want to, maybe they take them out to dinner, maybe they take them somewhere, you know, nice, take them for a day out. Both of them do pretty much exactly the same thing, except one is lust and one is love. Because the one that's lust is that when the couple get home, then he wants something as a reward. When this couple gets home, he's completely satisfied. He doesn't want anything. But they look exactly the same externally. Somebody is doing deity service. Somebody is cooking in the kitchen. Somebody is chanting their rounds. Externally, it looks the same. But what is it that this devotee is in love and this devotee is actually not love? What's the difference? The consciousness, what specifically? The motivation, the intention. That's what makes something pure or impure. And this is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Verse 6. Anybody know the verse? Famous one. Savaipam samparo dharmo yato bhakti rato kshajay ahoitukiya pratihata yayatma suprasidati. Translation. The supreme occupation dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be, what's the word? Unmotivated. That is the difference between love and lust. They can look pretty much exactly the same. But when our consciousness is that actually I'm doing this to please the beloved, that's what makes it unmotivated. When the consciousness is looking, I'm looking for something in return, immediately that's what turns it into lust. And uninterrupted, so that's the eternal and the temporary point there. So, if we look at all our relationships, would you say we love, or would you say we lust, or would you say actually all our relationships are somewhere in between? Who here would say they lust their parents? Nobody's going to say they lust their parents. Right? But do we say we purely love our parents? There is no expectation on them. Do we love them? We forgot to put it on here. Do we love them unconditionally? See? So maybe towards our parents, maybe it's more towards love, but it's not pure love. See? So all our relationships are somewhere along the scales. And this is why the scriptures say there is no love in the material world. What it's saying is no love that is on this end of the scale. That relationship is only ultimately between us and the Lord. And of course, when we are pure devotee, then of course we love everyone. Then we truly, like Srila Prabhupada, truly loved everyone, no matter who they were. So many stories there. One story that really melts my heart was Srila Prabhupada's there in the Vyasa Puja, and everybody is doing, offering the flowers in the morning. And then he noticed that one devotee had a cut on his foot. And immediately he called him forward, said, "What are you doing about this cut?" So then he called another devotee and they explained. Then the next day, he explained what to do about it. Then the next day he called that devotee again and inquired to make sure that the wound was taken care of nicely. Srila Prabhupada once was sat there and he rang his bell, called a servant in. I think it was Shruti Kirti Prabhu. This is in his book, What is the Difficulty? So he rang the bell, Shrutikirti pages of basin, and Srila Prabhupada said, "Look." And there, on the carpet or on the floor, was this tiny bug. Srila Prabhupada said, give it a leaf. Such love. What does he get out of that? From feeding this tiny little bug, what does he get out of it? That's love. And that happens as we connect with the Supreme. As we become pure devotees, then we can also start to develop more and more in our relationships more towards this. So at least we can start by being more conscientious. We can start by analyzing our intentions, analyzing our dealings with others. Am I really doing this purely for the benefit of that person? Or is there some selfish motivation? And the idea is to try and develop that more and more. So as we develop this love more and more, then we can start to at least even appreciate the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Because the pastimes of Radha, the dealings between Radha and Krishna are not mundane, lusty affairs of this world. But we cannot understand that while we have this contaminated consciousness ourselves. Because we will look at the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and think, this is the mundane lust. This is the enjoyment of a young boy and young girl. And this is what Srila Prabhupada says. Sometimes actually, even the in the verses, it's described Krishna's lusty desires. And then Srila Prabhupada explains, sometimes it's said like that because it looks like that. But actually, it's pure love. Now, we may not be able to fully comprehend that right now. But for me, the way that I understand it, the way that I look at it is, I know Narad Muni is completely free from lust. I know Lord Shiva is completely free from lust. And I know Srila Prabhupada is completely free from lust. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gaur Nitaya Ki Jai. And if they are free from lust, then why on earth would they be worshipping Radha Gokulananda, Radha Krishna? Uddhav is completely free of lust. Disciple of Brihaspati, I think it was a brahmachari? It's a brahmachari, right? Completely free of lust. He went to Vrindavan. He saw this plight of the gopis of Vrindavan, and he came back and he said, I want to be a creeper. I want to be reborn as a creeper in Vrindavan just so that the gopis will put their foot dust on my head. Therefore, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are completely free of lust. So, and actually, Srila Prabhupada even says to many devotees that if there is those lusty desires in some of the letters, you know, people are saying, sometimes people will write to Srila Prabhupada and he would explain that no, to actually get free of lust means you need to hear about Radha and Krishna. Means you need to hear about pure love. It's really purifying. And what happens is when you hear those pastimes in the right mood, then it actually satisfies you. It actually frees you from lust. That's the amazing thing. By hearing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, it actually frees you from lust. That's how beautiful they are. So I could tell a pastime or I could do this table. What would you like? Pastime, okay. So what would you say in Krishna consciousness? So carrying on from this point about love, what would you say is the most selfless service we can do in Krishna consciousness? Accounting. Very tough service. What is the most... So you know the answer, put your hand down. You should know the answer. The most selfless... If you look at any service we do, there is always some pleasure that we get. If we do the deity worship, you know, we dress the deity so beautifully. When you look back, you think, wow, Right? We do some cooking for the devotees, yeah, and we maybe sweat and all sorts, but after cooking it, what do we feel? And all the devotees come, oh, Prabhu, oh, Mataji, that was so delicious. Ah, all Gurudev's mercy. But what do we feel? We feel some pleasure there, right? I remember in Birmingham Temple once, everybody else was upstairs, the brahmacharis were upstairs. I remember I cleaned the entire temple room floor, and I must have spent an hour. I really went every nook and cranny. I really did it to my, and after 1 hour, I looked at it and said, nobody has ever cleaned the temple like I have. But it's such a menial service. It's such a lowly service in one sense. But yet there was still some pleasure. But what is the one service? No, you already know the answer. What is the one service that is the most selfless, that shows that we love Radha and Krishna? Clean the toilets? No, you still, still there's some satisfaction there. What is it? After, especially if they're dirty, right? After cleaning it, what do you see? It's clean. Ooh, nice. Helping devotees progress in their spiritual life? Is there still some pleasure in that? I think there is. It's hard, but when you see them progress, ooh, I did that. I'm such a good devotee. Being temple president, it is a very tough service, yes. But it's still not the most selfless. Say again. Chanting what? So chanting japa. Not chanting on the street, not sankirtan. We have 24-hour kirtan in Birmingham, right? People even from Europe come for that weekend. Yeah, holy name weekend. Madhav Prabhu's coming such an unrighted. Woohoo! Everybody's excited. Now let's say Widhi said, right, we're going to do a 24-hour japathon, chanting on japa for a weekend. I'm really sorry, Prabhu. I'm think of an excuse. Even in kirtan, there is pleasure. There's music, there's instruments, the mridanga player goes, so there's some pleasure there. Ian Prabhu sings this beautiful tune, Hare, right? But chanting beads is the most selfless service, because there is zero material pleasure. But does it give pleasure to Radha and Krishna? Does it give pleasure to Radha and Krishna? Are you sure? Sometimes we don't realize that. Every time we say, Hare Krishna, we are bringing Radha and Krishna together. For 100 years, Radharani was separated from Krishna. When Akrur came and took Krishna Balaram away, then Radharani, the gopis, all the residents of Vrindavan They were completely in this plight. It said that Radharani would be crying. Saunath Radhanath Maharaj describes like this. Radharani was crying and crying and crying, so much so that there was water. There was like a puddle of water around her. And then, in having such a high fever, in separation from Krishna, she would then fall into that puddle and immediately the water would evaporate. That is her plight. That is the plight of the residents of Vrindavan. So every time we say Hare Krishna, we are giving pleasure to Radharani and Krishna. We're bringing them back together. And sometimes that thought alone helps me to chant my 16 rounds. We all have days, right, where we're chanting and maybe we finish that first round and then we look, oh no, I still have 15 rounds to go. And sometimes just that thought alone, that no, I may not be receiving any pleasure, but this is giving the topmost pleasure to Radha and Krishna. This is love. Because now I'm doing something that I'm not getting any pleasure out of, but I know it's giving my beloveds pleasure. So I'm going to do it anyway. And this activity is actually the activity of all the residents of Vrindavan. Nothing gives Krishna more pleasure than being with Radharani. After all, Radharani is Ladini potency. She's the pleasure-giving potency. Well, Ramananda Rai will discuss this later on. So even the residents of Vrindavan are engaged, even if they're in other rasas, even if they're in Dasya or Shanta ras, they are trying to, Sakya ras, they're trying to bring Radha and Krishna together. So one time, Krishna was supposed to meet Radharani in the dead of night, in the forests of Vrindavan. And Radharani, that day, she was pouring water on the mud, and she was practicing walking in the mud at night time. Because it was a dark moon. It was actually, I don't know if you've ever had that experience, maybe in Watford, right, where there's no street lamps, and it is actually completely dark. So it was such a night. So Radharani put on a black sari, and then she went to the Kunj, where she was supposed to meet Krishna. And Vrindadeva and Purnamasi had arranged beautifully all the decorations of that Kunj. And the whole night she was waiting. She was pacing. She kept pacing. When is Krishna going to come? To the point where she was again nearly going to die. Feeling the separation from Krishna. Feeling the anticipation from Krishna. And finally, just before it was dawn, Krishna appeared there, but his hair was in disarray. There were scratch marks on his body. And when Radharani saw him, and she saw his, you know, everything was in disarray, she immediately turned her back. And from the corner of her eye, she was looking at Krishna. And he said, "Which gopi have you just come back from? Right? Why have you come here now? Go back to her. I don't want to see you." And like this, Krishna was protesting. "I went to the wrong kunj. And I was looking for you all night long. And these scratch marks, I got caught by the thorns in the forest as I was walking and I was looking. And finally I've come here." Radharani told her gopi friends, "Kick him out of the kunj." And like this, they pushed him out and it was raining. Just imagine this scene. The whole of Vrindavan was looking at their Lord, drenched by the rain, outside in the cold, rejected by his beloved. The whole of Vrindavan held its breath. At that point, one lowly snake, one cobra, it came crawling into the kunj. And like this, cobras are very fearsome. The cobra actually stood from its tail all the way up, almost the height of a human. And when Radharani saw that, everybody was screaming in the kunj, and in a blink of an eye, she was wrapped around Krishna's neck. She was holding onto Krishna's neck. Save me, like this. Krishna, holding Radharani, looked at that snake. Said, "Thank you. I'm forever indebted to you," because who knows what would happen that night. Even the snakes are helping Radha and Krishna come together, are involved in the pastimes. One time, Jatila, the mother-in-law of Radharani, would not let Radharani go out. So Radharani normally met Krishna at Radhakunda at noon. So she made a beautiful garland and sent it to Vrindadevi. Vrindadevi asked Subal, Krishna's most intimate friend, to go give it to Krishna. So when Krishna received the garland from Radharani at Radhakund, he was happy, but he was saying to Subal, I need to see Radharani. Please bring her here. So Subal was thinking, it's not possible. Radharani cannot leave today. Jatila is very strict, the mother-in-law of Radharani. So Krishna then said to Subal, if I do not see Radharani today, I will jump in the Yamuna and end my life. So when Subal heard this, his friend was in such distress. This is what friends do. They take out the distress of their friend. So Subal went to the house of Jatila. And with the pretense that his calf was lost, he entered into the house. And Subal has this amazing quality. He looks exactly like Radharani. They have the same complexion, similar height, etc. So when he told Radharani the situation, what Subal intelligently thought was, let's swap clothes. So like this, they swapped clothes. Now, Radharani is obviously a female. So how would she hide this area, her chest area? So what they said was they get a calf. So they managed to get a calf. And Radharani, holding onto this calf, wearing the turban of Subal, wearing the dhoti of Subal, she walked like this, hiding her head. And Jatila was like, oh, Subal, did you find the calf? And exactly imitating Subal's voice, Radharani said, yes. Yes, mother, I found the calf. Now I'm going back to Krishna. Krishna, he's here. Go, 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 quickly. Right? I don't want this, what did she call him? This black coward, right? This black coward boy to come anywhere near this house. She told him to go away like this. So then Radharani went to Radhakund, and Krishna, feigning that Subal had come, he said, Subal, you've come here without Radharani. Oh, my life is finished. And Radharani says, no. It's me. Like this. And then they were noon pastime. Then Subal somehow managed to get out and come back. Like this. And Krishna was so pleased with Subal. So like this, the residents of Vrindavan are always trying to bring, somehow make some arrangement for the worship of Radha and Krishna, bringing Radha and Krishna together. So every time you chant your japa, and you don't feel like chanting, remember this point, that this actually shows Krishna that I love him. It's so easy to say, I love you. Right? You hear it on the school playground all the time. I love you. I love you. You see it in the movies all the time. I love you, Pinky. I love you, Raj. Like all this kind of Bollywood. You hear it, it's such a cheap word, love. It's just thrown around. But to actually, if you actually love somebody, then that means you do something for the beloved. You do something beneficial for the beloved. Love is not a noun, it's a verb. I'll say that again. Love is not a noun, it's a verb. Do something for the beloved. The most selfless service you can do is chant japa. So I hope that's okay. Give you some inspiration to keep chanting. And of course, go out on Sankirtan with devotees like Govinda Prabhu. Bebo. Okay, so I'll stop there. Are there any corrections, any comments, questions? Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm hugging it.
There's a Bhaktisiddhanta was giving a quote from the Bible. He said, thou shalt not chant the Lord's name in vain. Now, vain means vanity for me, or, like people must use it as a swear word, And so that's in vain. It's offensive. But then he gives the comparison for the chanting of the holy names for the Lord. And he says, actually, it is only for Krishna's alone pleasure. That actually, that the motive is that it will be pleasing. It's not even for my own purification. It's for our purification, isn't it? Chaitanya at first, but eventually we'll come to a more pure platform. So there are these stages, but then it's deemed, he says, that actually our only motive is Krishna's alone pleasure. And he gave the example, Prabhupada gave the example when they're out on Harinam. Prabhupada, how should we sing the holy names? What tune is most pleasing that will attract people? And he says, no. He said, basically, you're chanting there for Krishna's pleasure. Everything else will come from that. That is your only motive. So, interesting.
Very nice point. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes. So even our chanting, initially it's true, we think of it as we're chanting for our purification. But as we advance, actually we're only chanting for Krishna's pleasure. That's really nice. And it's kind of similar along the lines of, initially when we come to Krishna consciousness, especially when we've been burnt so much by the material world, we're like, I just want to go back to Godhead. But as we become purified, actually, we just want to serve Krishna, whether it's in the material world, whether it's in the spiritual world, we don't care. So it's along the same lines, yeah. Life after life, so be it. All right, thank you, Prabhu. Yes, Ian. Oh, have you got the mic?
Hey, Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so much for your class. It's always very, very engaging and enlivening. I had a question just in regards to these terms of selfless and selfish. So I was in a class and we were discussing this verse from Bhagavatam, chapter 4, the first canto, which talks about that those who are devoted to the cause of Krishna live only for his welfare, development, and happiness of others. They do not live for any selfish interest. And in one of the lectures that Srila Prabhupada, was giving about this class, he was saying that for so long as you're on the bodily conception, you are going to be selfish, right? You'll be trying to satisfy the predilections of the senses, the mind, and everything.
Correct.
And so I was thinking, for us, we're coming to Krishna consciousness, maybe in the beginning for some selfish motivation, like I came because I wanted to be happy. So it was still for some selfish motivation, but we know that devotional service is pure, right? Even though we're not having that kind of full realization. So my question is, can't love also be selfish in the sense that as much as I'm doing it for this personality, I also know what benefit I'll be getting from it. And so there's going to always be that subtle motivation that I know I'm also going to be sheltered, like with Krishna consciousness, Avasya Rakshibe Krishna. Krishna will always protect me. So that's always going to be some motivation because I know whenever I give myself to Krishna, even in bad or good situations, he'll always protect me. So can we say that there's also a tinge of selfishness in love?
So can we say there's also a tinge of selfishness in love? In a sense, so if you gave an example that Krishna will still protect me or maintain me. So in the material world, if you look at everything except the soul, it's taking. If you look at the body, it needs. If you look at the mind, it's always looking for pleasure. Intellect needs knowledge. Ego needs, validation, glorification, appreciation, attention, blah, blah, blah. All of these things are pulling. What is it? What is that thing then? So that's the soul. The soul is the only thing that is actually able to give pure pleasure. So yes, while we're in the material body, there will always be some kind of needs. But as we advance in our Krishna consciousness, eventually we'll get to the point where Yes, Krishna looks after. I mean, look at the residents of Vrindavan. When Indra sent the rains, what did they do? They went to Krishna. Oh, Krishna, please protect us. But actually, their mood is not, they're worried about themselves. Everything they do is for the pleasure of Krishna. So even that act of lowering themselves, becoming subservient to Krishna, is for Krishna's pleasure. Even that act of, oh Krishna, please protect me, is for Krishna's pleasure. Because sometimes Krishna enjoys that. Krishna enjoys being your protector. Because he can be. He's the one who's giving us the air that we breathe right now. He's the one who gives us everything. So he likes it when you also be subservient. And you say, Krishna, please protect me. He enjoys that. As well as he enjoys being your servant as well. So he plays both parts. But as we become pure, our mood, just like the residents of Vrindavan, is that everything we do is for Krishna. I'm not sure if it's described here, but in some you might read where Radharani is decorating herself and she's looking in the mirror. Is my mascara perfect? Now you might look at that and think, like the mundane girls, and they're doing it in one sense for their pleasure, for their beautification. But Radharani, even this, is my mascara perfect, has got nothing to do with her desire, her looking good for herself. It's completely and utterly for Krishna's pleasure. So actually everything the residents of Vrindavan do, even though they're so-called asking for protection, is actually to give Krishna pleasure. I mean, look at this. Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura. Do you know how close Mathura is? Why did they just stay in Vrindavan? If they were missing Krishna that much, why didn't they just go? Just like a one day, less than that. You know, you go on the pat-pat thing, right? The three-wheeler thing. It's like a 20-minute ride. If Mathura is that close, why didn't they go? Why did they stay in separation and like dying day and night? Because that's what Krishna wanted. Krishna's pleasure. They're suffering, burning in the fire of separation. But it's for Krishna's pleasure. If that's what Krishna wants, then that's what I want. Krishna wants me to beg him to protect me. He puts me in a situation where I need to beg for him. That's what I'll do. But I'll do it for Krishna's pleasure. Nrisingadev, pray to Nrisingadev. Nrisingadev enjoys it. He's got that's his service to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Thank you for that. Actually, I think just because you gave that disparity of material versus spiritual, because then what Prabhupada then says in the lecture is, yes, be selfish, but be properly selfish. Not selfish for the body, but selfish for the soul. And yes. So that will engage you in devotional service. So that makes sense. Thank you very much.
Yes, we still have to maintain, we still have to look after him, but everything is for Krishna's pleasure. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Okay. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hare Gaur.